Well, good morning. Kind of feel like graduation. Got to preach on Wednesday nights, and now I'm preaching big time. Sunday morning. You know, one of the problems is, usually I'm used to preaching. When I was preaching full time, I was used to preaching and then going home and taking a nap. Well, I've already preached one time this morning. So hopefully we're going to get through. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful today when this is over with. Thankful that God has moved, and I hope and pray that God has moved in a great way. Or you're going to be thankful that Levi's coming next week. Okay. Levi Skipper can preach, can he? I love to hear him preach. I'll talk a little bit about Andy in just a moment. You know, we all preach the same word. And the power is in the word. Bible tells us how powerful the Word of God is. I want to read a great, amazing story. Maybe you haven't read it in a while. Out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. So the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of God and set me in the middle of a valley. It was a valley full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a little noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe, come breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Now, I don't know about you, but that story to me never gets old. I mean, years ago when my boys were much younger and I was working with the Department of Corrections as a chaplain and then a deputy warden in a prison in Valdosta, also preaching, I was doing a lot of supply ministry and I was going from town to town and church to church on Sundays, and my youngest son, Matthew, would go with me and travel with me on those Sundays. He did it because he said he liked to hear me preach. He wanted to go with me. He wanted to be with me. But at the same time, that's where he learned how to drive. Every Sunday morning, we'd get out on those country roads, and he'd get over here and slide over there, and he'd get up in the seat and sit in my lap in the truck. I'd work the pedals, and he'd drive. He'd drive to church, and he'd drive back. But as far as we could get to where we weren't on the main road, he'd be driving every Sunday. We'd be driving along a lot of Sundays, though, and he'd say, "Daddy, preach that dry bone sermon today. Preach that dry bone sermon today." It never got old to him. And the truth of this scripture is just as real as it's ever been. And here it is. When there's a preaching of the Word of God and a movement of the Holy Spirit of God, then the impossible becomes possible. When there's a preaching and teaching of the Word of God and then a movement of the Holy Spirit of God, then the impossible becomes possible. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. God, I pray today that you would help us to see, Lord, that there is a way out of impossibilities. That God, that there, when there are barriers erected that we don't think we can get around or we can get through or we can get over, God, that there is a way through. Lord, you are the way. And we pray, Lord, that you would use this service to speak to hearts that need to hear a little bit of encouragement, that need to hear that there is a way out. God, use the word. It is powerful. You said it yourself. It is powerful. God, use the word to speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kathy's sitting right down here. My wife, we've been married almost 49 years. Sitting next to her is my granddaughter, Carrie, down here. Isn't she pretty? She told me, she said, "Papa, you say anything about me, I'm going to kill you." But she's a sweetheart. She was the first one. We had two boys. Somebody came up to me after the last service and says, "Now, you're not the principal at the high school, are you?" I said, "No, that's not me. That's my son, Michael. But I'm Michael Sr., he's Michael Jr." And they call me Mike. They call him Michael. We had two boys. Carrie was our first granddaughter. So she's very, very special to us. Andrew's around here somewhere. He's our grandson. He's Andrew's kind of, you know, he's all right. But it is great. It's really good just to be here today and preach. I love to preach when my family are here, can hear me preach sometimes. They haven't gotten to hear me preach all that much through the years. And so I appreciate that opportunity to do that. When Kathy and I were in Shorter College years ago in Rome, Georgia, we also served during that time at a church in Cartersville. And outside of Cartersville are some Cherokee Indian mounds. I don't know if you've ever been there or you know about that, but they're there right in the middle of a beautiful agricultural area. There are several dirt mounds made by covering up the lifeless bodies of Cherokee men and women and children. And if you stood on top of those mounds today, it would kind of be hard to imagine in the middle of those beautiful farms alongside that Coosa River that countryside there is filled with the remains of lifeless bodies. And that's kind of what was going on in Ezekiel. When God took Ezekiel out to a valley that was full of nothing but death, a valley that was full of dry bones. And there Ezekiel was seeing something more vivid than any painting we could ever imagine. The time that this was happening was not long after the fall of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. I mean, it was early on in the ministry of Ezekiel. The place this was happening was not far from the city of Babylon, close to the Euphrates River. And as far as Ezekiel could see, stretched out over that valley was a skeleton army of dry bones, seared by the scorching sun, bleached into dryness because they had been out there for so long. And this probably reminded Ezekiel of the days after the fall of Jerusalem, when dead bodies littered the roads going in and out of town, those who had died in a futile attempt to save the city of Jerusalem. I mean, these were God's people that we're talking about, who were now in a hopeless situation. They were exiled. They'd been taken from their homeland, taken from their Jerusalem, and now they were living in a ghetto in Babylon 20 years before they had it all, but not anymore. And they'd begun to repeat a proverb. It's in verse 11. I didn't read that. They're saying, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We're cut off." I imagine they mumble those words in their dreams. They chattered them like gossip. "Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We're cut off." Because everything that they had previously known was gone. And they now lived in a horrible impossibility. And life for them had become hopeless. And that's what Ezekiel stepped into. That's what God sent him to speak to. And he went into those people to say, "Don't give up because you're going to go back to Jerusalem. Don't give up because you will rebuild the temple. You will restore the nation of Israel. You will renew the leadership." Ezekiel dared to come into that situation at the urging of God and say, "There is a hope and a future with God." He dared to say that God would call possibility out of their impossibility. That God would bring new life out of death. So I want you to look through Ezekiel's eyes this morning. And this is the first point. I want you to begin by asking, I want to begin by asking you to recognize and confront your own impossibilities. Recognize and confront your own impossibilities. Ezekiel was standing in a place far outside of town. As far as he could see, he was the only thing living around. And God really wanted him to take it all in. Look in verse 2. He said, God led him back and forth among all those bones. You see, this was no sneak preview that God wanted Ezekiel to have. The death and the dryness as Ezekiel looked and walked around among these bones, it became ingrained in Ezekiel's heart and mind. He was there long enough for him to realize, if it's up to me to do something with these bones, it is a human impossibility. I mean, if they'd just been sick or weak, there might have been hope. But these bones were dead can be. If it could have been a pile of rocks, Ezekiel could have built something with them. But he couldn't do anything with a pile of old, dead bones. Now, you know that outside the church, outside the family of believers, the world says things about us sometimes. The world say, you Christians, you live in a fairy tale world. You live in a world of impossible dreams and make-believe. They say things about us. They say, you Christians, you just don't look at life like it really is. But there's nothing further from the truth than that. Because as followers of Jesus, we really are some of the most realistic people in the world. Because we're willing to look at our human condition. And we're willing to look at the condition of our world and say it just like it is. Without God, it's a valley of dry bones. The Apostle Paul said it, everyone who is outside of Christ is dead in trespasses and sin. You see, the Bible doesn't say we're weak and we hope you get a little bit stronger. It doesn't say that you're nearsighted and we hope you get a little bit spiritual, better spiritual vision. The Bible doesn't say you're ignorant and we hope you get a better education. The Christian faith says the truth that outside of Christ, you are spiritually dead and hopeless as this valley of dry bones. But it also speaks to the fact that we all deal with different areas of hopelessness in our lives. At home, maybe where you feel like your marriage has died, your family's falling apart. You're wondering, can it ever come back again? Can we ever pull it back? Can it ever get back to where it used to be? In your spiritual life. If you're really honest today, some of you may have to say, you know, right now, Mike, it's like my spiritual life is just dry. There's just nothing there. I mean, there used to be a time when I read my Bible and I prayed regularly. I did all those things. I was excited about the things of God. But right now, it's just dry bones. It could be something impossible that you can't get over at work or somewhere in your family relationships. It could be somewhere medically that you're looking at and you think, how am I ever going to get over this? This stool's up here for a reason. I told him, really, it was an old man stool, but it's not. Because I'm only 67 years old. This stool's up here because I have a hard time standing up. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called MG. Now, I know that sounds like a cool little car, but it's not real cool. It's kind of a cousin to MS. It attacks all the muscles in my body, and I got it diagnosed when I was at a racetrack on Saturday night four or five years ago. I had double vision. I kept looking at all the cars running around on the track, and I think, man, there's a lot of cars out there until I realized that, hey, there's twice as many cars out there because I was seeing double. And I sat there the whole night and watched races as I was one eye closed. And I thought about it. I came back and they diagnosed me with MG, myasthenia gravis. And it affects the muscles in my body, but they gave me some medicine. I went home and I did well. Back last December, I had a TIA, which is a mini stroke. And I was paralyzed on this side for about 3 or 4 hours completely. And then everything became to come back, but everything since that time has been messed up. So I've been struggling through this last several months trying to get better, and it's only gotten worse. And it's gotten to the point now, the hardest thing for me, I get up some mornings, I can't even raise my arm to brush my teeth. I can't walk, and the hardest thing for me to do is to walk and to stand. And that's why I was sitting over here a while ago. If you saw me sitting down while we were singing, I was sitting down. And I wonder sometimes, God, how am I going to get over this? I'm 67 years old, but I got a lot of time to go. I still want to do things. I still have things I want to do. I want to take my kids tubing again, my grandkids. I want to be able to spend time with them. Lord, how am I going to get through this? And it looked like to me, through these last few months, it's been one big impossibility. Is anything going to come out of all this? You know, this passage begins with that kind of recognition of the impossibility in your life, whatever it is. This is what I'm facing. Look at verse 3. God asked Ezekiel a question. He said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? The answer of Ezekiel reveals a lot. You see, because Ezekiel didn't say yes and Ezekiel didn't say no. I mean, Ezekiel didn't say yes, maybe because I don't think that his generation had a full understanding of the resurrection. But he didn't say, no, God, these bones can't live, because he knew, I think in his heart, that a God who created everything out of nothing could do it if he wanted to. I believe in his heart that Ezekiel knew God could do it. He just didn't know if God would do it, or maybe didn't trust God to do it. So he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. He said, I don't know, Lord. Maybe you know. Isn't that the way we are a lot of the times when we're facing impossibilities? We've been in church long enough, we've heard enough sermons, we've sat in enough small groups or Sunday school classes, we know enough doctrine and theology. But when we're asked, God, do you really want to make a difference in my life? God, can you really take this away? God, can you really heal this? God, can you make a difference in my family, in my finances, in my city, in my job, in all my life? When we answer those questions, when it comes down to us, we start stumbling around a little bit. Lord, I believe you can do it, but I'm not sure if you're going to do it. I don't know, Lord, if I really trust you to do it, Lord. Maybe you know. In verse 4 then, God told Ezekiel to prophesy, to preach the word of God to these bones. You know, I've spoken to some churches that were pretty dead during the years. They weren't this dead. I mean, it's one thing to stand over a valley of dry bones and just look at them like Ezekiel was doing. But it's another thing to stand over that valley of dry bones and say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. But that's what God told Ezekiel to do. To preach to these bones. Now, I don't know about you, but that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, if I was Ezekiel standing, I would think there would be a whole lot of other things that I could do with these bones that would make more sense than preaching to them. I mean, you could count them. You could go out there every day and start counting bones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You go out there every day until you get them all counted. There's millions of them out there. You could analyze them. You could see how long they've been or how old they were. There are people that do that all the time. You could put them all together and then separate them and analyze them to see how old they were. You could even paint them. I mean, you could make the landscape look a little bit better. I mean, they were bleached dry. They were white. You could just put some color on them and make the landscape look better. You could bury them. Just put them out of sight. You could put them in a museum so that everybody could come by and look at them and maybe and gawk at them. Or you could just organize them. Put the hip bones over here and the thigh bones over there. And you know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of things you would think about doing with this pile of dry bones before you would ever think about preaching to them. And that's the same kind of thing we do with our impossibilities, our own impossibilities, so many times. Most of the time we do everything else but preach the Word of God to them. We count them. I can't believe how many things are going wrong with me. I do that all the time. Yeah, I can't believe how many things I got going wrong with me. You know, my body is just going away, seems like, sometimes. And I can't believe that everything doesn't work like it used to. I just can't believe. We could count them. We could label them. We label our problems sometimes. I've got a psychological problem or educational problem or a racial problem. We're good at putting labels on things these days. We could put them in a museum. We could hold them up so that we look at them all the time and we could wallow kind of in our self-pity. We can analyze them. Just what's wrong with me? We do that all the time. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Is this just something that's happening to me, or is God causing this to happen to me? What did I do? How did I mess up? Where can I get turned around in my life? But here's the way to confront your own impossibilities. Put them under the preaching and teaching and the power of the Word of God. That's what the Scripture says. Ezekiel was told, preach the Word of God to these bones. And then in verse 5, he says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I'll make breath enter you, and you will come to life. You see, I believe the Lord's saying in verse 5, this is the way to deal with your impossibilities. Place your impossibilities under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And when you do that, your impossibility can become possible. And out of your hopelessness can become hope, and out of death, you can find life. And I know somebody's thinking, well, Mike, you're a preacher, you're talking about this is the way God deals with impossibilities, this is the way God deals with our human situation, is to preach the Word of God to it. I mean, isn't that kind of lifting you up a little bit? Isn't that kind of making you feel a little bit more important? But listen, I didn't say that. God, if He'd wanted to, could have said, all you gather together on Sunday morning in the church and eat angel food cake, and you'll have eternal life. If He had wanted it to happen that way, by the way, He could. But He didn't. Instead, He chose to say, the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God is what brings new life, and He did it in that way so that He would get all the glory. So that the glory would be all His. And this is one of the reasons this is so important. The church is a lot of things. But at the very center of the church has to be the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. The very center of everything the church does has to be the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, because God has chosen to say that when we preach the Word of God and when we teach the Word of God, that dead things come to life. And so preaching always has a place in the church, not to make the preacher look good, not to just kind of showcase some charismatic rock star pastor, but because when the Word is preached, those that hear it find their impossibilities becoming possible. They find hope in a hopeless situation, and they find Jesus. They find life out of death. But there's one more point here. That is, not only recognizing the impossible and preaching to the impossible, the redemption of the impossible depends on more than that. I mean, the preaching of God can do a lot. Look around. Verse 7 and 8. Ezekiel said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them." So Ezekiel preached to the bones, and everything started to change. The bones started coming together. The hip bone was connected to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone connected to the shin bone, and the shin bone connected to the ankle bone. You know what I'm talking about. But the scripture says there was no breath in him. There was no breath in him. And this is where we get off sometimes. Because there's something more than just doing the church thing. There's something more than just coming together and singing the songs and having the preacher deliver a message and go back home. Look what he says in verse 9. It says, "Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live." God says, "Ezekiel, this is what I want you to do. Pray for the Holy Spirit of God to fill this valley and those old dead bones. Recognize your own impossibilities. Put them under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And then pray for the Holy Spirit of God to move." That's the third point. Pray for the Holy Spirit of God to move. In verse 10, he said, "So I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." When Ezekiel prayed, the Spirit of God came in an amazing way. And what happened was more than anybody could have ever imagined. I mean, it would have been something to see, wouldn't it? Just to be there when those old bones started coming together and they were rattling and coming together. And then when they were covered with flesh, if they had just laid out there and kind of were lounging around in the field, that would have been enough to scare the willies out of me. I'd have been out of there. But when the Holy Spirit of God came, they stood up and made a great army. Listen to me. That's what happens when we move beyond what we can do to only what God can do. When all this gets to be beyond what we can do to only what God can do. I mean, think about it. Look around you. The Ebenezer Baptist Church has seen through the years what preaching and teaching the Word of God can do. I mean, I know that you've sat here for, you were here, many of you were here for 17, 18 years, however long Andy was here as he preached. Andy, whenever I came here, whenever Andy preached, the Lord always spoke to me. Whenever Andy preached, I always got excited. Whenever Andy preached at teaching the Word of God, it made me want to be a better preacher. It made me want to be a better person. It made me want to be a better Christian. It's because of that kind of preaching and because of that kind of teaching that God has blessed this church. I believe that. Everything now is in place for the next pastor to come, whoever that is. I mean, you have the organization, you have the property, you have the buildings, you have the supplies, you have the money. But don't you ever forget that without the Holy Spirit moving in this congregation, without the Holy Spirit moving through everything that you already have, without that, all of it can very quickly become nothing but a valley of dead dry bones. You ever get to the place where you think, "I can do this? I can do this." Let me tell you something. I've joked about it before to Kathy through the years. I said, "You know, I've been doing this church thing so long, I can do this. I mean, I know how to queue up. I know how to do this. I know how to dot the I's and cross the T's. I know how to put the organization together. You know what? I can do this." You ever get to that place where you think, "I can do this," and you leave God out of it somehow, or you put God on the back shelf, or you're not listening to God, you ever get to that place, I don't care how big you are, or what kind of organization you have, or how much money you have, it won't matter at all. You'll become nothing but a valley of dead, dry bones. We all need to pray. Lord, let the Holy Spirit fall on this place. Let the Holy Spirit of God fall on this place. Lord, we have the administration. Lord, we have the bank account. Lord, we have the buildings. We have all this. But, oh, God, just let the Holy Spirit of God flow through all of it and set it all on fire for you. And if you do that, I can guarantee you the Lord will do more than you could ever imagine. Somebody says, well, the best days for Ebenezer Baptist Church are in the past. No, they're in the future. If you'll pray and ask God to move and believe that he will. I told this story on Wednesday night. I preached here on Wednesday night during the spring. And I told this story, but I'm going to tell it again because it was a defining moment in the life of our church. It's a defining moment in the life of our church because it just didn't change one person. It changed the church. I had a friend who came to me one day just a few years ago. His name was Don Harper. I don't mind sharing his name. I've told the story to everybody who will listen just about. Don Harper called me one afternoon. It's like on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And he said, Mike, I need to talk to you. I said, what's going on? He said, man, I just went to the doctor. They did some tests. I've got colon cancer. Doctor said it's bad. It's not bad. It's just really bad. And they're going to operate. He wants to operate tomorrow. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I told him, Doc, I just got to have some time to wrap my mind around all this. Can I have just a couple of days? You know, now I'm saying, you know, I'm a farmer. I'm in the fields. I don't have people that work in for me that they don't do all the work. I work too. He said, I'm in the fields. I'm on a tractor. I'm doing all these things. You know, doing this kind of thing is going to change my whole life. Is there anything, you know, just give me some time so I can figure out how I'm going to live with all this. And the doctor says, well, you can have till Monday. We want you back in here on Monday. You can do pre-op on Monday. We're going to operate on Tuesday. Don came to church on Sunday like he always does. A lot of times he's got his grandkids in tow. Just about all the time he's got his grandkids. If you see Don, he's usually there with three or four little girls following him in church every Sunday morning. But he came there and I preached, and after the service was over, I said, Don, come up here. And so he came up and we just surrounded him as a church, and everybody got together and we laid hands on him and we started to pray. I started to pray. Others were praying silently. Those that couldn't put hands on him directly put hands on the ones that had hands on him. And we prayed and asked God to move. We prayed for the Holy Spirit to heal him. And we prayed and asked God to perform a miracle because that's what it was going to take if this situation was going to change. And immediately when I got through preaching, the Lord said to me, Mike, okay, he's healed. I wanted to reach over with everything I had, just put my arm around Don and say, okay, buddy, it's over with, you're all right. But I was scared to do that. I was scared. What would you think if you heard that? I felt like it was the Lord telling me that. I knew it was in my heart, but I was still scared to say to Don, you've been healed. So I didn't say anything. Monday, pre-op day, he goes to the doctor. He calls me later on that afternoon. He's on his way home. He can't hardly talk. He said, Mike, you're not going to believe what's happened to me. I said, yes, I can. You've already been healed. He said, Mike, they can't find anything. Amen? He said, they can't find anything. There's nothing there. All that stuff that showed up last Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or whenever it was that happened, he said, it is all gone. There's not a thing there. And that's what happens when we get beyond what we can do to only what God can do. That's what happens when we call on the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. I mean, see, that didn't just change Don. That changed the church. I guarantee you can go to that church right now and you can ask everybody, tell me about Don Harper. And the first thing they're going to tell you is that healed right there in that church one Sunday morning. Whenever we go beyond what we can do to only what God can do, that's what happens. And you know, I'm going to be honest with you, in most of our lives and in most of our churches, we have not seen all that God can do. We've never gotten to that place. We've never gotten to that point. We've never gotten to where we can see all that God can do. When we put ourselves under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. But don't stop there. When we let the Holy Spirit blow in all of our life, what God can do will blow your mind. So I want to close today by asking you, what are you doing with your impossibilities? What is it you're facing today that's right there? I mean, you can't get away from it. I'll tell you this. I lost more sleep about coming to preach here this week than I have in a long time. I preached to different places all around, but I don't know, for some reason, just coming here, knowing what a good preacher Andy was, how much I just loved to hear him preach. Took notes like I was in seminary when he was preaching. Knowing Levi's coming next week. You know, the devil was after me. The devil wanted me to see all these roadblocks. Wondered if I could walk up here without falling down, or wondered if I could stand up or sit, or wonder if my eyes were going to go, because that's one of the things I get, double vision. Wonder if I could be able to just even see to read. What is it that's blocking you right now? What is it that you're trying to get beyond you just can't get beyond? Because I'm right there with you. What is it that you're trying to move past? What is you think is impossible, but God can make possible? I've already said this, but some of you may be here this morning. You're thinking, Mike, I'm drilling a dry well every day. I mean, I'm trying. It just seems like it's just getting drier and drier. My whole life around me is just impossibilities. I just can't get to where I want to be spiritually anymore. But the Bible tells us, if you believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him as Lord, then life comes out of death. That's the Word of God. So maybe somebody here this morning, the impossible thing you're trying to get through is get through to Jesus. Maybe you can't get past that roadblock of saying, I need Jesus. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you need to get saved. Because Jesus will save your soul. If you ask Him, He will save your soul. He will come in and live with you. You can live with Him. He'll change your life forever. Maybe some of you just need to come and join the family here at Ebenezer. Just look forward to the future. To walk in faith and pray, God, let the Holy Spirit fall on this congregation and bring everybody to life. Or maybe some of you have decisions to make that are just too deep, too sensitive to put into words. And the altar is open. We're going to give you an opportunity to just come and kneel and pray. And ask God to help you wherever you are. And you need to do some personal business with God this morning. You can come. Or I'll stand here at the front. There'll be others standing here. You can come put your hand in ours and just say, pray for me. Sometimes it's so good to be able to just say, will you pray for me? Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Whatever impossibility you're facing today, God can take care of. Will you come? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Lord, I pray, God, that You will speak to us today. Lord, we just pray that You will bless this invitation as we invite people to come to know Jesus. Invite people to get through that roadblock that's keeping you away from that life of faith, to get through that impossibility that right now you're facing and you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to get through all this. God, we pray that you would use this invitation, Lord, for your glory. It's not my job to try to talk somebody into making a personal decision. If I talk them into it, Lord, somebody else will talk them out of it. God, we're asking for you, through the presence of your Holy Spirit, to do what only you can do. Touch lives today, Lord. Thank you, God, for making the impossible possible every day in our life. In Jesus' name we pray.